Good afternoon and welcome. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on IndianaFreedomTalkRadio.com, the Grow Your Own Channel, 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina, the Jalapeno Channel, 87.9 FM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and numerous other micro broadcasts and webcasts across our great nation. Our website is FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. We open the broadcast with Trenches by Pop Evil. It is, well, it's Muck and Fun Day. It's the 28th day of August. I look up at that calendar with all those X's on it. It just don't seem possible. Anyway, it is. It's Monday, the 28th day of August, 2017. It's 12:04 Pacific time. I'm your host, Henry Shively. This is a live call-in program, and listeners are encouraged to join in the conversation. If you'd like to call in, the number is 641-715-3610. A nice lady will come on the line and ask you for the conference room you want, and that would be 220029, and then the pound sign. Again, that's 641-715-3610. And then enter 220029 and hit that pound sign. Of course, you have to punch in *6 to unmute if you want to come up on the air and mix it up with me today. Well, it's currently 75 degrees here, 4,200 feet in the high Cascades of northern Jefferson, and we're looking for a high of 91 degrees today for the Klamath Basin, and we're seeing a hot spell coming in here where it's coming up in the 90s, but it's not going to be like the whole afternoon, you know, 90, 100 degrees. It'll, you know, get up there and it'll come back down, but it's still pretty darn warm. And I ain't going to complain because I know what's coming down the pike. Anyways, let's see what we have on the itinerary for today. Hurricane damage shuts down major U.S. oil refineries. Say it ain't so. And we're going to get into it as soon as we return from these messages from our most outstanding sponsors. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT.
Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Bringing you the word from the trenches, please give a big round of applause for Henry Shively.
Alrighty then, hurricane damage shuts down major U.S. oil refiners. Oh my goodness. You know, Mark Schumacher and I were talking, I think it was yesterday, and Mark wrote an article on it. You know, the fact that, you know, we have treaties, international treaties on using weather as a weapon because, you know, they have stated that they can, you know, drive a hurricane and create one and create tornadoes, and they can actually drive them to where they want. And I found it extremely suspicious. You know, they've had this glut of diesel, gas, and, diesel and gas anyway. I mean, from the refined products, they've got a glut of them. And, you know, rather than put the price down, we've just seen we're still getting raked at the goddamn pumps, and they're selling it to us for $2.50 a gallon. Well, right now it's $2.69. It raised 10 cents, I mean, the day before this hurricane, because the hurricane's coming. It's going to shut the refineries down, but you have a glut. You have a glut you can't get rid of. And as you're, with the shutdown here, is that going to make that glut of crude oil even bigger and bigger as you're shut down, as you're trying to get. I mean, what I'm saying here is that they had this glut of gas and diesel that they, you know, they're going to have to sell for a way lesser price than what they want for it. So all of a sudden, here comes the hurricane. And I mean, it's a, you know, this is a tragedy. You see the people in their houses running. This is enough to disgust you. But I'm here to tell you, some people are going to make bank on this. The contractors, the goddamn oil companies, they're going to make bank on this. We're going to see our building supplies go through the roof. We're going to see gasoline go through the roof, diesel go through the roof. I mean, a lot of things, you know, the necessities for rebuilding is what I'm talking about here. And I mean, like I said, the contractors are going to make a whole lot of money. The banks are going to make a whole lot of money. And guess where that money's coming from? It's going to come from you and I. Anyway, 10 crude refineries around Houston and Corpus Christi in Texas are closed in the wake of torrential rains and devastating flooding brought about by Hurricane Harvey during the weekend. The shut refineries. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, it ain't nothing compared to in 61 when Carla was here. It was 10 to 20 feet higher tide. I mean, it was over the trees. This is nothing compared to then. But anyway, they're making a big show. It's a diversion tactic. I don't know if anybody noticed gold went up $30 over the weekend.
Boy, howdy, did it. I didn't notice that, Charlie. But what I'm saying, when Carla came in, I know there was a big hurricane back in 61, but when it came in, did it stay for the duration that this one stayed? I mean, this hurricane's just coming on. They're talking about it being there till Thursday. Was it like that back then?
No, but I mean, the flood was up above the trees. It was 20 feet higher than it was now. This is nothing compared to Carla.
I've read about it. I think it's in the book Texas by Mishner. I'd read about that big flood. And, that was the year I was born, 61. And, I mean, a diversion, I mean, we're going to hit a couple more articles here in a little bit. But, I was going to talk diversion. I mean, it's nothing but pluses for our enemy and nothing but minuses for us and the poor people that get caught in the son of a gun. I mean, I heard him talking this morning just how unprepared the city was. And the mayor comes on, this guy says, I mean, just a doofus. What the hell is this guy doing being mayor? And, you know, I'm watching the fleets of boats of people going out and doing the rescuing and stuff. And another thing, you know, Flea and Angel got in it a little bit on the site last night. And, you know, I can see both sides of that argument. If you're going to live where there's, I mean, like Charlie was just pointing out, 1961, they had Hurricane Carla that came in there and just, I mean, did even worse than this from what Charlie's saying. Why are those, I mean, you build on a floodplain, why aren't those houses built on pillars? Oh, because it would look bad and nobody would want that or nothing. If you're going to live on a floodplain and the people are going to have to come and bail you out every 50 years, the rest of the whole goddamn country, shouldn't there be some kind of precaution taken? Shouldn't you try to minimize the damage?
No, just buy government flood insurance.
Government flood insurance. And where does that end up coming from, Charlie? The money, where's the money that's going to rebuild Texas after Hurricane Harvey going to come from?
Yeah, you know the answer.
And I don't like it. You know, Flea's side of the argument, he was talking about the fact that back in 2008, I mean, yeah, this is a devastating thing to happen. And if I was there, I would be out there trying to help people. I mean, we're a nation. We're a people. We should be. I mean, we come out and when something bad happens, we go and we help one another. But in the same instance, back in 2008, when the derivatives bubble crashed, man, I've seen a lot of, there were people blowing their brains out. I mean, you lost their home. Does it matter if you lose it in a flood or if you lose it to a bank fraud? People lost their homes. There's 100 million of them out there already. Still, you know, they don't have any place to live or anything. And nobody nobody lifted an eyebrow. Oh, because it was a banking thing. And then, you know, when it's proven that it was as a result of fraud that the regulators were in on, well, too big to jail. Nobody went to jail for it. But those people were, I mean, I don't know. Is it more catastrophic if it's, you know, a natural disaster that takes you out or if it's a very unnatural planned disaster that takes you out? And that's not taken away from the compassion for the people that are getting hit down there in Texas. My sister, there was one of the hurricanes that came in this year. Go ahead, sorry.
I didn't say anything. Oh. I mean, death is not the worst thing that can happen to you.
Oh, boy. I hear you. But my sister, you know, they talk about, you know, FEMA's in there. Everybody's there and all these big programs and all this shit. And my sister, you know, she has a house in South Carolina. And, you know, it got some pretty fair damage, you know. It came up, it was in her house, and, you know what it does when it floods. You know, it ruins your walls. You got to take things out. Sometimes you got to take floors out. It depends on how fast you can get it dry. But, I mean, when they come around after it's all over, if you're a rich son of a bitch that has a big, you know, bank account and you have money, you're gonna get money. If you're a poor person, like my sister, I mean, she lives on a fixed income, but she does, you know, she's almost owns her house. And, you know, you're just going to go, well, no, it doesn't meet the criteria, because they're setting the criteria as they go. And, you know, I'm going to end up helping to bail out these people in goddamn Texas, and my sister and people. I'm looking at these homes. I'm seeing, you know, $500,000, million-dollar homes just all over the goddamn place. And I'm going to help bail those people out. Well, my sister, you know, because she isn't a part of the upper echelon, she got screwed. You know, you get, take care of it yourself. Do what you can. Do without food for a while. You can fix it. Don't worry. So, again, with
these
the art.
People,
go ahead. Sorry.
These people have been bailed out several times. I mean, it happens all the time, and they just keep doing it again.
That's what I'm talking. Charlie, tell me that they couldn't put those goddamn up. I don't care if they're iron steel pillars. You know, and put the houses up until, you know, put them 20 feet up in the goddamn air. If the water gets that deep, well, then, I mean, what would be the argument against that? Oh, we don't want our houses 20 feet up in the air. Well, then don't live on a goddamn floodplain and expect everybody else to pay the ticket when it comes around to where a flood. Again, we can make this argument without losing compassion for the people that this is happening to. Because I'm sure, you know, they'll show the million-dollar homes because they want to really get you to see the damage. But I'm guarantee you there's a lot of goddamn poor people who rented. They're going to just, you know, there's no place for them to live. Will the rent person they renting the property from cash it out, you know, with the with the insurance? Or will they, you know, have a place to live? There's going to be a lot of people hurt with this, no doubt about it. But, again, I would ask the question, like, go ahead, Charlie.
One problem is that the rich people control the dam, so if they tell the government to open them, their house won't flood, and all the people downstream of the dam get flooded.
That's exactly what they did.
The dam.
Yeah, they opened that dam today, and that's exactly what they did. I hear you, man. I mean,
Brazos River Dam is a bunch of them. I mean, it's people that are 30 miles inland that are flooding.
Wow. I know it's a bad scene, but like I said, I'm telling you like this. If you're it's your goddamn home, and if something happens to it, it's on you. My home would be 20 feet up in the goddamn air on iron pillars or cement pillars. It would be able to withstand the weather that might come. And like, you know, after 1961, I mean, these homes that are getting wiped out right now are sitting right where they were in 1961. So, I mean, just every few years, the whole nation has to bail out the people in Texas because they don't want to put their houses on stilts because they need stilts because every once in a while the water gets that goddamn high. And like I said, back in 08, when all these people were, I mean, million people, I mean, it affected more people in 08 than is being infected in Texas. When that many people lost.
Boy, I tell you, I don't want any government. You know, you're getting what you asked for.
Oh, hell yeah. I agree with you 100%. But what I'm saying, if I was going to build a house down there, Charlie, if I was going to do it, I'd put the son of a bitch on stilts. Then I wouldn't need no help from nobody.
Would.
Yeah.
Nobody would if it wasn't for the government.
The government won't let you put them on stilts?
No, I'm saying if there was no government,
oh, yeah.
Everybody'd be smart.
The you'd protect.
Make people dumb.
You'd protect your property. See, they don't want that cosmetic kind of effect. So they put their houses down where they look nice, and they sell them back and forth to each other, and everything's really groovy. And then when it comes a big hurricane like this, the rest of the country has to pay for it. I don't live in a floodplain. Why am I paying for this goddamn flood? And if I was down there and I did live in a floodplain, my house would be on stilts. It wouldn't get me. At least after the first time, I mean, if it was something like, you know, a 1,000-year flood that nobody ever knew, you know, didn't see it coming, that's one thing. Like Charlie was saying, you're talking 61. What are you talking, 56 years ago? 56 years ago, the country had to rebuild Texas because their houses weren't on stilts and they were on a floodplain. And again, we're going to do it again today. And I mean, like I said, I have compassion. I mean, I feel like hell for the people this is happening to. But have a little compassion for the guy out there that, you know, a couple of kids working two $10 an hour jobs, trying to make it, paying rent. And, you know, paying taxes, and he's going to help pay for this. And he don't live no near no floodplain. He doesn't get the nice yard, the big $200,000 or $500,000 or $1 million house. He just gets to go out there and bust his ass. And it can still, it comes down. Go ahead.
That's a pretty small house, $1 million house.
Is it? I don't know. I don't know down there. You know, some of the houses I've seen, I was like, whoa.
Yeah, just this year, the houses went from like four times higher.
Oh, you're kidding me. Wow. Well, this is what I'm talking about. You're going to have, up here in Oregon, you're going to have some poor slob with working two $10 an hour jobs with a couple of kids and a wife. Probably she's working one $10 an hour job. And they're going to pay for a $4 million home to be fixed down there in Texas. That's all there is to it. And that, by God, ain't right. Anyways, where were we here? Well, the crude, yeah. On the other side of the coin, we're going to get joust on the gasoline. They're going to get to sell that gasoline that people were starting to look at it. You have a goddamn glut. How are you getting $2.60 a freaking gallon for gas? Well, because we just can. We forget about that supply and demand thing when it comes around to us having the too much supply and no demand. Well, we got to have this much money out of it. We need this much out of our goddamn slaves, so get out there and pay up. But then he comes back to the other side of the coin, and right now they're sitting there. I mean, when I was talking to Mark yesterday, he was, talking about the possibility of, through HAARP and the chemtrailing and the heavy chemtrailing and the weather modification and the driving of a storm, could they have driven it up through there? And I said, well, I know they can. And if they could, considering this glut of oil, and it went right up goddamn refinery alley, do you think they would? And I have to say, hell yeah, they would. New York second. The rich contractors, the people are going to make the bank out of this, people. And even the people in their houses, a lot of them are going to get hurt, but some of them aren't going to get hurt at all, and their houses are going to get rebuilt by me that lives in Oregon, nowhere near a floodplain. I'd like to see the goddamn flood that could get my house. I don't know. It's food for thought, I guess you could say, on that one. Let's go into...
The weather shows at 100 degrees there in Oregon. Is that true?
It's supposed to get up, I think, 91 or something like that. Let me see what it says here. We're supposed to get 91 today, 95 tomorrow, and it's just 95s as far as you can see. But the thing is, it's cool in the morning. So it's not like in July, end of June, July, in the first part of August, you get a hot streak. And it'll be 90 by, say, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And then it stays 90 right up to about 6 o'clock in the afternoon. And that's bacon, man. And the house never cools down. Because every space in it's just baking hot. But I mean, when it's like, it'll get up to probably 90, 91 for about a half hour, maybe 20 minutes, and then it'll start cooling back down, which ain't so bad. Because we're heading into the fall here. You can feel it in the air. At any rate, Trump prepares to lift limits on military gear for police. And this is more about what we said, when Trump was running, that, they're putting a guy in here that's going to build that police state that Obama couldn't. This is from Associated Press that was sent in by Jim for discussion. I'm from the trenches, worldreport.com. The Trump administration is preparing to restore the flow of surplus military equipment to local enforcement agencies under a program that had been sharply curtailed amid an outcry over police use of armored vehicles and other war-fighting gear to confront protesters. Documents obtained by the Associated Press indicate President Donald Trump plans to sign an executive order undoing an Obama administration directive that restricted police agencies' access to the gear that includes grenade launchers, bulletproof vests, riot shields, firearms, and ammunition. They go to detail that a little better. Trump's order would fully restore the program under which assets that would otherwise be scrapped can be reproposed, to help state, local, and tribal law enforcement better protect public safety and reduce crime. According to the documents, Attorney General Jeff Sessions could outline the changes during a Monday speech to the National Conference of the Fraternal Order of Police in Nashville, Tennessee. A person familiar with the matter said the person insisted on anonymity to discuss the plan ahead of an official announcement. The changes would be another way in which Trump and Sessions are enacting a law and order agenda, a complete police state agenda that views federal support of local police as a way to drive down violent crime. National police organizations have long been pushing Trump to hold his promise to once again make the equipment available to local and state police departments, many of which see it as needed to ensure officers aren't put in danger when responding to active shooter calls and terrorist attacks. You know, they'll come to a goddamn farmhouse with the milk, you know, SWAT team with for raw milk, and they'll kick in the doors and, I mean, shoot the dog. And we know what these son of a bitches will do with this stuff. I mean, it's already got to the point to where people understand that the goddamn so-called police, which we're not supposed to have, are the enemy. An armored vehicle played a key role in the police response to the December 2015 mass shooting in San Bernardino, California. And all you need is one tiny little incident. And boy, that we should have this shit all over the country. We should have full-blown martial law because of San Bernardino, don't you know? In 1990, Congress authorized the Pentagon to give surplus equipment to police to help fight drugs, which then gave the way to fight against terrorism. And anybody who's against this government's a terrorist. If you're for the Bill of Rights, you're a terrorist. You're for the Constitution, you're a terrorist. If you do not get down and lick the boots of your oppressors, you're a terrorist. Groups across the political spectrum have expressed concern about the militarization of police. And then they say it right in these arcs. They know it. Everybody knows what this is. This is the militarization, which makes it a military police, which makes it a military police state, which is what it is. Arguing that the equipment encourages and escalates confrontations with officers, President Barack Obama issued an executive order in 2015 that severely limited the surplus program, partly triggered by public outrage over the use of military gear when during protests, they try to take this shit and make their own narrative out of it. It didn't have nothing to do with Ferguson. It had to do with, like I said, out on a goddamn farm. You know, they're drinking raw milk, man. Here, come in with the drones. Come in with the goddamn track vehicles. I mean, to run over their goddamn sheds, shoot their dog. But it's got to be around Ferguson because you have to be one of those sides. You either got to be with the communists or you got to be with these fascists. And we got to get Ferguson, Missouri in here. Like that false flag production has any goddamn thing to do with the rest of the people in this country. Ferguson, Missouri, following the shooting death of 18-year-old downtown Michael Brown, police responded in riot gear and deployed tear gas and stood by and watched them burn the buildings down. What a crock of horse shit. Just grab anything and throw it down there, man. The people believe it because they can't think independently. Somebody will sit down and explain it to them in the way they want it to be, and hey, man, it makes sense. At times, they also pointed assault rifles at protesters. Well, they can do that. You just can't point back. We found that out last week. Obama's order prohibited the federal government from providing grenade launchers, bayonets, tracked armored vehicles, weaponized aircraft and vehicles, and firearms and ammunition of 50 caliber or greater to police. As of December, the agency overseeing the program had recalled at least 100 grenade launchers. What do they need a grenade launcher for, people? What do they need a caliber bigger than a 50 caliber or bigger for?
They fear for their lives.
Oh, I know they do. And anybody who would stand up to them is a coward with a gun, don't you know? 100 grenade launchers and more than 1,600 bayonets and 126 track vehicles, those that run on continuous tank-like tracks instead of wheels, they were provided through the program. All righty then. Trump vowed to rescind the executive order in a written response to a federal order of police, fraternal order of police questionnaire that helped him win an endorsement from the organization of rank and file officers. He reiterated his promise during a gathering of police officers in July, saying the equipment still on the streets is being put to good use. Yeah, you oppressing the American people, you tyrannical piece of shit. Mr. Constitution, you better go read that Constitution, Donald, because I'm here to tell you it doesn't authorize this goddamn standing army that you're so fond of. In fact, that stuff is disappearing so fast we have none left, Trump said. The documents first reported by USA Today said Trump's order would emphasize public safety over the appearance of the heavily equipment. I don't know what the hell that heavily equipment, heavily armed equipment, maybe. I don't know who wrote this. They described much of the gear as defensive in nature. Shit. Bite me. intended to protect officers from dangers because they're a bunch of goddamn spineless cowards. The Justice Department declined to comment on the expected move. Most police agencies rarely require military equipment for daily use, but see a need to have it available. We have one of these big armored vehicles. We have all this shit in this little town I live in. It's so that the good old boy rednecks can go play. They can go play army. Apartment would need, but defense shields and armored vehicles kept on reserve will be welcome, he said. Sessions has said he believes improving. Now, I want you to hear this. Sessions says, has said he believes improving morale for local law enforcement is key to curbing spikes in violence in some cities. The plan to restore access to military equipment comes after Sessions has said he intends to pull back on court enforceable improvement plans with troubled police departments, which he says can malign entire agencies and make officers less aggressive on the street. Well, God, they're not aggressive enough. Go ask Kelly Thomas. Go ask James Boyd. These son of a bitches need to be more aggressive because we're just goddamn dirt beneath their feet. We're here to be controlled by Trumpy and his gang. And this is his street thugs. And they need to get more aggressive with us people. I think we need to get more aggressive right goddamn back with these goddamn unlawful, unauthorized military units they're calling police that cannot exist, as they are not only are they not authorized in the Constitution, they are forbidden by the Bill of Rights. Consent decrees were a hallmark of the Obama administration's effort to overhaul certain agencies. Sometimes after radically charged encounters like the one in Ferguson. And see, that's why they always bring that one. The one that doesn't really mean shit, because the guy had just strong-armed robbed somebody, Michael Brown. He just committed a strong-armed robbery when he had his conference. But they always bring that one up. Why? Do you ever wonder why? When you got, like, you could bring up Kelly Thomas. You could bring up James Boyd, Marion Curry. What was his name? Eric Garner. You could bring them all up, man. There was some serious goddamn cold-blooded murders right on video. Why does it got to be this? Because that's where the agitation. This is what Soros wants. Soros is, making sure that the people who write this rubbish, that they succeed, as at the same time that he's paying the big bucks to make sure nobody hears about what we're talking about on the trenches. Anyways, guys, we're down at the bottom of the hour. We're going to take our bottom of the hour break. We will be back in about 8 minutes. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT.
People say I'm no good, crazy as a loon, 'cause I get stoned in the morning and I get drunk in the afternoon. Kinda like my old blue tick hound, I like to lay around in the shade. And I ain't got no money, but I damn sure got it made, 'cause I ain't asking nobody for nothing.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Crumbiliumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs' handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. The Word from the Trenches is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this programming on the air, go to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiloquin, Oregon, 97624. Your contributions are appreciated. I'm your host, Henry Shively. It's 12:37 Pacific Time, and that was Drown Me Slowly by Audio Slave we listened to during the break. Now, on with the police state. You know, while we're watching this, the drama Katrina 24-hour coverage and, you know, a blip here and there of some of their projects, Congress quietly passed a bill allowing warrantless searches of homes. Only 1% opposed it. And this is only for like a few areas here. But I mean, this is how they stick their foot in the door. And then they've set a precedent. They've gotten away with it. So they'll go on for more. This is from Free Thought Project. It was sent in by number one New World Order hater for discussion on From the Trenches, WorldReport.com. A bill that would allow homes to be searched without a warrant was passed with overwhelming support by the United States Congress. A bill that violates the fourth article to the People's Bill of Rights was passed with overwhelming support by the United States Congress. That's what that goddamn says. And signed into law by President Trump. Oh, there's your opposition. There's, you know, your constitutionalist, huh? We're going to abide by that Constitution. Remember what he told you? And it happened with no media coverage and very little fanfare, no doubt about it. This is how they do this shit. On the surface, House Joint Resolution 76 looks harmless. The title of the bill claims that it proposes is granting the consent and approval of Congress for the Commonwealth of Virginia, the State of Maryland, and the District of Columbia to enter into a compact, that's a contract, relating to the establishment of the Washington Metro Rail Safety Commission. Oh, what they had in France was those little, you know, the safety committees. Isn't that the ones that finally started, you know, giving the draconian apparatus to the people right up the yin-yang? Whereas the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority and Interstate Compact Agency of the District of Columbia, the Commonwealth of Virginia, and the State of Maryland provides transportation services to millions of people each year, the safety of whom is paramount. But forget about their liberties, we're talking safety here. Whereas an effective and safe Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority system is essential to the commerce, ooh, it's about money, and prosperity, ooh, about wealth, of the National Capital Region. Whereas the Tri-State Oversight Committee, created by a memorandum of the understanding among these three jurisdictions, have provided safety oversight of the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority. The proposal for a safety commission to act as a wing of the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority may sound logical when its power includes things such as the ability to adopt, revise, and distribute a written state safety oversight program and to review, approve, oversee, and enforce the adoption and implementation of its WMATA's Public Transportation Agency Safety Plan. However, there is one major red flag buried within the text of the bill that seems stems from the list of powers given to the Washington Metro Rail Safety Commission, and it violates one of the basic tenets of the U.S. Constitution. Oh, it's the Bill of Rights. I'm getting more frustrated with people trying to adjoin the two, that when that Constitution's already been, it's been dismissed as null and void. It didn't work. It's breached out of existence. In performing its duties, the commission, through a board of designated employees of agents, this means contractors, this is what we're talking about here. This is giving warrantless search powers to goddamn private corporations is what it's doing, people, and that's where we're going with this. Or agents may enter upon the WMATA rail system and upon reasonable notice and a finding by the chief executive officer that a need exists, there's your due process, upon any lands, waters, and premises premises adjacent to the WMATA rail system, including without limitation property owned by or occupied by the federal government for the purpose of making inspections, investigations, examinations, and testing as the commission may deem necessary. So as the government, as the corporation may deem necessary, the contractor may deem necessary, then come right in your goddamn house. Oh, we're making a law saying the contractors come in because they're under contract and contracts are real important. Well, the ninth article to my Bill of Rights says I blow your ass right back out the door, asshole. This is raw tyranny, people. Proposes of the MSC compact, and such entry shall not be deemed a trespass. Oh, because you dictated it. We shall not be deemed a violation of the Bill of Rights because we've removed your Bill of Rights through contract, don't you know? Because we don't have the authority. The ninth article says we cannot have that authority. But we did it anyway, and we signed our names to it. Well, you signed your death warrant. So you son of a bitches that keep signing this shit, just keep on assigning it. That's the prima facie evidence. Makes for a short trial and a short fall on a long rope. Or a long fall on a short rope. The text gives the commission the authority to enter property near the metro rail system without limitation, in quotation marks, without limitation, and without a warrant for the purpose of making inspections, investigations. I mean, what the hell are we saying here? We're saying we have removed the fourth article right of all the people in these areas, period. And like I said, this is just the foot in the door in this goddamn police state we're witnessing come into life here in front of us. It's already been alive for quite a while. It's been killing our people for years. This clearly goes against the Fourth Amendment. Do you think so? And it ain't the Fourth Amendment. And that's why they're getting away with it, because you keep calling it the Fourth Amendment when it is the fourth article of the First Amendment to the original Constitution. Which states that Americans' rights to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall issue but upon probable cause. Don't mean shit, does it? Until you shoot him. Didn't mean shit to the King of England until you shot him. Well, you shot his troops. He was hiding over there. He was under his bed doing whatever weird things that kings did back in them days under their bed while the Hessians, the paid troops, the $20 troops were out here getting their asses shot off by the Americans. Amish called out the hypocrisy surrounding the fact that even though this legislation is in clear violation of the Constitution, it was passed by Congress with overwhelming support. Of course it was. This is the foreign occupation, don't you know? Only five of us voted against the bill allowing government to enter, search private property in parts of Virginia, District of Columbia, and Warrant, he wrote on Twitter. This is not the first time Congress has quietly passed a bill that will take away some of the most basic rights from law-abiding. See, Congress passed a bill that's taking away some of them basic rights. Can Congress do that? Does Congress have the authority? We better check again, because, hell, we might be wrong about this, but let's see if Congress has the power to take these rights away from us people. Let's look at that ninth article. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. No, they do not have the authority to do it. This is done as a rogue insurgency. They have zero authority to write it. They've committed treason when they signed it. Where were we here? Da-da-da-da. Congressman who voted against it, Representative Justin Amish, a Republican from Michigan, Walter Jones, a Republican from North Carolina, Thomas Macy, a Republican from Kentucky, Alex Mooney, a Republican from West Virginia, and Mark Sanford, a Republican from South Carolina. All the rest of them committed high treason, didn't they? Because they acted without authority. They're acting as a draconian, totalitarian dictatorship. Am I missing something here, people? Okay, this is the first time Congress has quietly passed a bill that will take away some of the most basic rights from law-abiding citizens. Yeah, infringement-abiding citizens. You can't take them from American nationals. We shoot your ass in the U.S., and it won't be the last. One of the most important things to remember about this legislation is that it was ignored by the media. Of course it was. They're the fourth arm of this totalitarian dictatorship. It's the propaganda arm. And while it may only affect the Washington, D.C. metro area, it could be laying the blueprint for future legislation across the country. Do you think? Well, we got away with it here. It's just like that hurricane. If they could, would they? Would they if they could? And this is just, are they going to get away with this? They get away with this. You think they're just going to stop there because they got away with it? I don't. Oh, this one I loved. Trump pardons ex-sheriff convicted of defying judge's order. This is from Yahoo News. President Donald Trump on Friday pardoned former sheriff Joe Arpaio, the retired Arizona lawman who was convicted for intentionally disobeying a judge's order in an immigration case. The White House said the 85-year-old ex-sheriff of Arizona's Maricopa County was a worthy candidate for presidential pardon. And, you know, I heard him talking about this, and they're talking about this being a persecution. Do you know, like the Hammonds? You know how the Hammonds were put in double jeopardy? I mean, in direct violation of their rights. Now, you know that, but they're calling this a political persecution. Now, Sheriff Joe Arpaio, by God, has held people incarcerated in the worst conditions and demeaned them, you know, made them wear pink clothes and just done the shittiest, made them eat shit food out in his desert and, you know, brag about his desert goddamn jail out there. And now he's being, and these were all political persecutions because they were not done under the common law that those people were entitled to. But old Sheriff Joe, hey, so he's Sheriff Joe. He's one of the boys. He's one of the fucking traitors that need a rope put around his treasonous ass neck to be stretched forthwith upon conviction. But the bottom line here is, you know, he should have had to go to that goddamn jail and put on them pink underwear himself. I mean, everybody there was politically persecuted. But no, not Sheriff Joe. See, he's one of the good old boys. He's one of the Masonic Dirty Church cabal. Sheriff Joe is what they call him. Sheriff Joe. So Sheriff Joe was convicted for doing his job. Trump Axe supporters. I'll make a prediction. I think he's going to be just fine. But the Hammonds, you can rot in jail, you old bastard. You let that old man just let rot and die. You're just one of the goyim out there. You're not one of these special people like Sheriff Joe, a public official convicted, don't you know? Arpaio, who became linked to Trump during the campaign for his hardline immigration views, was convicted of a misdemeanor for intentionally defying a judge's order to stop his traffic patrols that targeted immigrants. Both politicians questioned the authenticity of the then President Barack Obama's birth certificate and have a similar history in sparring with judges. In the statement Friday night, the White House said, throughout his time as sheriff, violating people's rights every goddamn day, but I promise you people, enough to have him strung up, buried, dug back up, and strung up again. That's how many violations he's committed against our people's rights. But throughout his time as sheriff, Arpaio continued his life's work of protecting the public from scourges of crime and illegal immigration. Sheriff Joe Arpaio is now 85 years old. And so how old is that goddamn old Hammond man? Ain't he about that old, too? It's all right to put our old people in jail, in prisons where they can be killed, but not old Sheriff Joe, the dirty criminal son of a bitch. And after more than 50 years of admirable service to our nation, 50 years of violating the People's Bill of Rights, he is worthy, a worthy candidate for a presidential pardon. You, by God, right, he is.
Henry.
Yes, sir.
I ain't saying I like Sheriff Joe, but, I mean, how did they arrest him in his own county? He is the law in his county, I think. I don't understand how.
I think it was a federal directive. It was a federal thing.
The county sheriff is above the federal in his own county unless they got him out of the county.
I think that what happened was he retired, and then they nailed him, if I'm remembering correctly, Charlie.
Yeah, I mean, if the Hammonds and all that, if they would have went through a county sheriff, an elected county sheriff, deputized them, and had all those people out there deputized, then there wouldn't be no argument.
Yeah, but when you get to this level, when you're talking about out there with the Hammonds, you're talking about a $1 trillion worth of goddamn natural resources at the root of it, the true root of it that they're talking about, and they wanted the people's land. And the BLM,
I'm saying is if you elect a county sheriff in that county and you deputize the militia, then nobody can stop you.
Well, they run the election in the state of Oregon. I promise you, they run the election system. It is 110% corrupt. I've proven it on paper for myself. That it is 110% corrupt. And you're just not going to get to be a sheriff if you're the kind of person that would do that, Charlie. Not in the state of Oregon.
Yeah, you're absolutely right there, but there's got to be, I mean, they can't cover every 2,141 counties in the whole country.
Yeah, they can, because you've got a Masonic lodge in every one of those county seats. They do control it that to that extent, Charlie. I have to say they do. You're not going to get nobody. You, I mean, I tried as the mayor of this town I live in. And I mean, I had ballots where they were outside of the city limits, like 4,000 ballots outside the city limits so that they could, you know, make sure that the Californian that they wanted to put in would be put in. And I had those ballots that were outside voting outside of the city for a city office. And I mean, it don't matter. You call them up. Yeah. And, you know, I report it to the elections board. Election board, I go, and you're not going to do anything right. You're just going to stick it in the bottom of the pile. He goes, that's right. I mean,
it's a private election.
You goddamn right it is.
I have the same problem in my county, but I'm saying that's the easiest one to override, a county, a local election. There's got to be some way we can all get together and get some county sheriff.
You would have to be, no, yes. if it comes down.
I haven't given up yet.
Well, I'm telling you like this, Charlie. It's been my experience, and I've played this game a long time. And you get up to the point to where you could cause them harm, you better get your gun out because they're going to try and kill you.
That's like that Milagro bean field war or whatever that.
Uh-huh.
There's a movie, and it showed that. I mean, that was 20 years ago, but, you know, it's a movie, but you could do that. You could get a county sheriff and throw the BLM out.
No, I disagree. 20 years ago, you might have been the edge of it, but not today. Today, they send in a goddamn army into you. I mean, look what out there burns. They send in a federal frickin' army out there, complete with troop transports, Humvees, machine guns, everything. I mean, if they sent a military presence there and just dared anybody to, I mean, hell, they would just gun you down. They understand that they have no intention of backing off this or losing one step backwards. They will kill you first.
If you get a county sheriff, and I'll come. I mean, if we can turn under a county sheriff and have to deputized, I'll come fight.
Oh, so would I. I would do it in a second, but you got to understand, you're going to fight. It's going to be
in the damn country.
Yeah, I hear you, brother.
One county sheriff, just one.
I hear you, and I agree 110%. But the bottom line is, if it does happen, you're going to bet. You better bet that it's going to be a fight because they're not going to back off of this. They I mean, you look at how these communists.
That's the only kind of fight I want to be a part of.
Me too.
We're going to have to fight.
You goddamn right we're going to have to fight.
They took away the common law courts, and we got administrative freaking
admiralty
laws of fee crap, you know, and this is hell. I'm sorry to butt in.
That's okay, brother. You're always welcome.
I'm at work, and it's noisy and windy, and I'm not ready to kick someone's ass here. But no, it don't matter. I mean, these freaking sheriffs and their deputies, they're running off what we got is administrative and not off common law, so that probably null and voids the whole damn thing, partial to what some of these sheriffs.
Well, the sheriff
have intention and shit, but I think it's bullshit.
You would have to have a sheriff. You would have to have a sheriff, and at the same time, you, in that county, you would have to establish a common law court and a common law jury. I mean, you'd have to do all this simultaneously, and then you better be ready to shoot because they're going to freaking shoot you.
Right. Because they're going to come out there with their little toys that I have every intention of taking from them sons of bitches.
Yep.
And use them against them.
You betcha.
I hate to do it. They're supposed to be my people. Just like use a bat instead so I can beat them down, and then they can still sit there go whoa and win, and I can chew them out in the face and clonk them in the head and shut up, quit whining.
Exactly, man.
Anyway, I got to get out of here so you can close. I got to finish.
Well, thanks for coming up, pal.
Like in my county, it would only take 35 people. To sure control the county party.
Yeah, it would take 35 people and a posse of a million. Because they will come in with, I mean, when this happens, and it probably will before this all goes down, but when it happens, you're going to see a goddamn federal army come in. I promise you.
Yeah, but then we bring our own militia. I mean, we'll take a federal, I'll take it. We got to be under a county sheriff, though. That gives us legitimacy. We can't do it.
We don't. No, we don't have to be under a sheriff. It has gone way too far for us to have to be under a sheriff. We have the right as individuals to fight them. We don't. I mean, the bottom line is this: you have a troop of sheriffs across this country who are just as guilty as any other goddamn law enforcement of violating the Bill of Rights.
Just take one. Why not? Why not have one?
Well, I mean, I'm for it. If you can get one that will actually go by the Bill of Rights and say, you know what, the Bill of Rights and the common law and the common law courts have been removed by the War Powers Act. We're going to reinstate them in this jurisdiction and we'll fight from here. I'd be there in a second.
Yeah, well, I mean, just a medium-sized county, it only takes 35 people to get the sheriff elected. So, I mean, but there's no people that give a shit. That's the problem.
No, people give a shit. People have understood. The people in this town gave a shit. They elected me, but it didn't matter. They just took took ballots outside. And they didn't make no – of course they did. Took 4,000 ballots outside the city limits to get what they wanted. And, we did it, and what you going to do about it? You see what I'm saying? Even if the sheriff was elected, what if you elected him, Charlie? You knew you elected him. You found some phony ballots and they said, well, no, this other guy, this communist, he was elected sheriff. And you get those ballots and you say, well, goddamn it, we elected him. We did it. And you go there and it goes, no, you didn't. Now what?
Yeah, I understand.
Because that's where it's at.
Just find me one county sheriff, okay? There's 3,000 counties in the United States. Just find me one.
Well, if you want to find you a county sheriff, you got to go down and you got to join the local Masons Lodge because that's where your county sheriffs come out of, my friend. And they're not going to be for you first. That Masonic oath comes first. Make no mistake about it. You do not get to be a county sheriff unless you're one of them. So now what?
I ain't giving up yet.
Don't you give up, Charlie.
You've driven me down below the ground, but I ain't giving up.
Don't you give up. I'd lose all respect for you if you did. And that is unless you vote again. And that's going to be the straw.
I'm not the county sheriff. I got to have at least some legitimacy. You know, you can't just do it as a nut.
Yeah, I hear you.
But they label as a nut.
Well, if you put something like that together, you're automatically labeled a nut, my friend. Because they get to do the labeling. Anyways, guys, I'm sorry, Charlie.
Yeah, I just said I understand. Hey, change your press pass to 2018.
Okay, we'll do it. All righty, then. We've made it to the top of the hour. We will be back tomorrow at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern for another broadcast, The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT. And until then, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you people. This is a fight. You better have your gun clean, have your knife sharp, because if you don't got those, your implements of war, you're not ready for this. And then after that, you better get your head right. And that is The Word from the Trenches. Stay tuned, for it's time to break free with David Rock coming up right behind us.